Thank you, Cheryl. You're real sweet. First, let me apologize for missing Kathy's program and Ann's program. We just walked through the door from La Vita. I do want to say that Cheryl, you've been on my mind quite a bit. You know, working around your bedroom there, and you know, thinking of you caretaking, right? As you do, but caretaking the retreat house, and something you said the other day, introducing something or something, I don't know. Oh, maybe it was in your program, your spotlight program. It just really hit me what a big change this is in for you. You know, moving absolutely across the country and everything's changing. So just really had a felt appreciation for that. So I'm looking forward to having you here and close and furthering our relationship in that way. So let me play a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel exactly that same way. So grateful and blessed. And, you know, it's so interesting to come back to Pueblo. You know, Regina and I went down, I don't even know what night, several nights ago, maybe Sunday night. We went to La Vita and just got back, like I said, half an hour ago or something, 45 minutes. And it's such a shift. It actually feels like, I don't know, waking up from the dream, right? I just can't even explain it except to say, well, I'm going to try because there was a movie that starred Demi Moore. Gosh, I watched it again not too long ago. Can't remember the name of it, but she leads two lives. You know, she's in one, she's a high-powered businesswoman in, like, New York City. And the other, she's living in the hills of France, you know, with two children and planting flowers and picking flowers. And, you know, just two totally different lives. And she, in the movie, she's trying to figure out which one's the real life and which one's not. But it kind of feels like that. It's just so, so different to walk through this door. No, it's not ghost. Oh, we went down Saturday night. Thanks, Regina. Yeah, no, it's not ghost. I cannot remember the name of that movie. It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a good metaphor, you know. But at any rate, so having said all that, now let me actually start the program, and I'll play us a song that seems to be right on point for me right now. So it's called All One, Ramon York. Thank you. Okay, yeah. Lovely, lovely song. It's fun to hear that one again. thanks. It's a fellow named Ramon York. He's kind of like the Cat Stevens story that sings the song. It's kind of like the Cat Stevens story. He used to be with a real popular band in like Britain, and then he went on the spiritual path, and he had some spiritual songs. The name of his album is Given, Given, and I just love the album. He kind of dropped into obscurity, right? Kind of like Cat Stevens did for a while, although Cat's back. Yusuf Islam is back. It's funny because some really weird songs have been playing in my head lately, for days and days and days. And usually the songs don't strike me like that, because usually it feels like messages from my higher self, and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have a new song playing. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet and so on point. For days, I guess that's what they, I guess that's why they call it the blues by Elton John played in my head. What that was about. And then for, and maybe it was playing in the gas station when we were on our way back from La Vida and we stopped for gas. Today, no, because I think it started before that. Today, what was playing in my mind was Everybody's Working for the Weekend. So I'm like, okay, those are clearly not songs I want to play. Ramon York did come in my mind when I requested. I said, okay, what song should we play? And then I pulled up that album and saw the song All One. And again, I just think that it's just really appropriate for what seems to be going on here with me. And then as you and I both just listened to the words of the song, I thought they were perfect. They just addressed about the stillness and again this God is love. God is the only love that there is, and he and I are one. I mean, it's just perfect. So, message came in later than I'm used to, but there it was. So, my kitty's sitting here in front of me. She missed me, I heard, and she's glad to see me. I'm glad to see her too. Okay, so, I'm going to start with a journal entry from October the 13th. I'm going to read the daily contemplation for that day. It's Thoughts of Awakening, number 263. Stillness is always present. It is within and it is without. It is the one reality, always constant, never wavering. When one is not listening to stillness, one is focused on illusion. I'm going to interrupt this thought of awakening because, the name of that movie I was talking about with Demi Moore, that might be, the name of it might be Illusion. That's what kept coming in my mind. I'm like, surely that's not right. But it actually also goes back, and that's coming into my mind now. And then I also, excuse me, I'll slow down a little bit. That also came into my mind as I read this, stillness is always present. It is within and it is without. Is the one reality always constant, never wavering? So while my experience seems to be different, what I experienced over the last several days at the retreat house with Regina in La Vita, and it's sweet, sweet, sweet. We've been working really, really hard. But it's just, it's joyful. It's just joyful work. You know, there really is no difference walking in the house here. I'm experiencing it differently. I'm having a different experience, but there's a constant. And I feel that constant as I begin to drop into my heart and speak with you guys. I feel the constant stillness. So again, stillness is the one reality, always constant, never wavering. When one is not listening to stillness, one is focused on illusion. Illusion is not important. With desire stillness, it can be put aside. When one is listening to stillness, one moves and functions within illusion, but one has not forgotten constant stillness. Therefore, one is peaceful, happy, content, and guided by stillness. As a representative of stillness within the world. And on that day, I asked, Father, what would you say to me about the stillness of my being? And the response, stillness is that which is. All else is but illusion. You recognize the joy of stillness when you are focused on it. The desire stillness is the willingness to rest in stillness, to put aside the thinking mind. You felt in your meditation the truth of these statements. This has been long enough ago that 4 days, it seems like 4 years, that I can't say specifically what that experience was in meditation that's being referred to here. You felt in your meditation the truth of these statements. You saw the thinking mind from stillness. Oh, gosh, I do remember. I do remember. Let's see. I'm just trying to decide where I want to start with this. trying to decide where to start in the story. Years and years and years ago, years ago, I was in my 20s, barely in my 20s. I asked Jesus to teach me to meditate. And you all have heard me say that before, and of course, Jesus did. But the first time I ever went, oh, I get it. You know, oh, that was that. That's what meditation is. Actually, I was laying in the bathtub with my ears, you know, under the water, and I could see the thoughts. I could see them. I mean, it's like I was fully within the meditation, and I could see the thoughts still. You know, I knew what was being thought, but I was not the thoughts. I was not wrapped up in the thoughts. It was not how I had experienced thoughts before, even though they continued to run in the background. You know, it's like a TV in another room, you know. And so in this meditation I had on this day, on October the 13th, I had a similar experience, but it's only similar because it was, and maybe you guys have been doing this all along with awareness, watching awareness. I don't know. But it was just a real glimpse of the thinking mind just running, you know, just again that like something playing in the background, you know, not thoughts thought by me, not something I was trying to get rid of or change or calm or slow or but it just seemed like a glimpse of the thinking mind. You know, not, oh, I see that thought, oh, I see that, oh, I see that thought. But just like you're just like watching a machine, you know, chugga 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 in the background. Yeah, so I'm just going to back up a couple sentences and read from there. The desire stillness is the willingness to rest in stillness, to put aside the thinking mind. Actually, I'm going to start from the beginning of the paragraph because I think I'm cutting off part of what's important. Stillness is that which is. All else is but illusion. You recognize the joy of stillness when you are focused on it. The desire stillness is the willingness to rest in stillness, to put aside the thinking mind. You felt in your meditation the truth of these statements. You saw the thinking mind from stillness. This is the practice you shall pursue. This is the key to your liberation. Be very clear on this. Not to practice stillness is not to practice. Ask yourself what you desire. Follow your heart's desire. Rejoice that that desire is clear to you. You don't want to read that. It's funny because it's like there's just no question for me. And at one time there was. It's like there was a yeah, but you know, yeah, you know, I want, you know, whatever. I don't know what I thought I wanted because the truth of it is, you know, it really is a zero sum game. It really is all or nothing. You're either, you know, fully in that desire or you're not. But there's no yeah, but here. Follow your heart's desire. Rejoice that that desire is clear to you. It will serve as a beacon that welcomes you home. If you despair, remember to look for this beacon. Do not wait until practice seems convenient. It is the thinking mind that tells you anything other than stillness is important. Let me tell you what is important and when. Even then, we can practice stillness together. Listen for my encouragement. I will lead you truly. And now this next question, it's interesting because I've been watching actually a very violent program that I love, you know, when I'm settling down in the evening or whatever. It's called Boardwalk Empire. It's on HBO. I get it through Amazon Prime, you know, so I can watch it when I want to. But I watched the end of a season, and oh my God, there were these incredible upsets that I just was totally not expecting. You know, characters killed off and just crazy stuff going on. But it was just so, gosh, oh, you know, young lives cut short and just dreams, you know, lifetimes. Dreams not fulfilled, and just you know, in the human condition, right? And this is a, you know, of course, it's about mobsters and in old Atlantic cities in the whatever, I don't know, not long after the which war, one of those world wars. But you know, after you watch a show for a while, you really get into the character, so they feel like you feel like they're people you know. But just the human condition in these things was just incredible. It was just, I really, really felt it. You know, it just didn't feel like I was watching a show. And so that's what this next journal entry is about. Give me one second, though, please. So I said, Father, what would you say to me about the human condition? The brevity and the sorrow of the human condition have been much on my mind lately. And the response was, the human condition is sorrowful, sorrowful, only if you choose to see it as such. Again, it refers to something. Maybe it'll come back to me. It says, this morning, you had a taste of the beauty of the human experience. I think, again, that was in meditation after I, you know, going into meditation with this on my mind and just getting a glimpse of the, you know, that thing that I talked about quite a bit there for a while, you know, that. Oh, yay, experience, right? But just the fullness and the, you know, it's like that sweet sorrow idea, right? Just that all of it, all of it. You know, it's just like biting into a juicy peach, right? Just the sweetness of all of it, and it includes the sorrow, right? So that's the That's what this is talking about it. And it's interesting that it said taste. The human condition is sorrowful only if you choose to see it as such. This morning you had a taste of the beauty of the human experience. See all things through this perspective. What a wonderful, beautiful tapestry of experience. Feel and taste the fullness of experience. What a joy it is to live and to breathe and to experience. Give gratitude for everything, even those things that seem sorrowful. I can say it, I can write it, the word, but I have a hard time with it. Give gratitude for everything, even those things that seem sorrowful. This is life. You are life. Give gratitude for it all. Let me read more. So I just move on to the next journal entry. It said, it's interesting too, because Tom just walked in the door, so I was hoping to get this read before he got home. But anyway, here we go. It's not like we're recording or anything, right? I said, Father, my relationship with Tom has been on my mind. I seem to be torn between wanting him in my life and not wanting him to be a part of my life. I know what others think, but I seem to have no clarity on this. Can you help me? And the response, you do know that this should I stay or should I go question is not what is important. It is like the other things that consume your attention, the hows and whys of which play themselves out. There is a flow that will direct the course of your life if you allow it. No amount of thinking will help you to find this flow. You cannot plot a course and expect to follow it. Keep your focus on your inner life, and your outer life will flow naturally. You feel some sadness at this suggestion, but this is cause for great joy. What a burden is lifted in not knowing and not needing to know. You need make no pronouncements that will need to be retracted later. Just allow the flow to flow. If pronouncements or commitments are requested, you may respond with the truth of your desire not to plan or to know. Remember where your joy lies and rest there. I will guide you truly. And we did have a conversation about this, Tom and I, recently, and that was exactly what I said. Here's some thoughts that I've been having, and maybe we be roommates, maybe I don't know what to, I don't know. And I just was clear on that. And it's there is liberation in it. There's such liberation in it. Because then when the mind travels to that topic, I'm not trying to figure anything out. I'm not trying to, again, that whole thing about you cannot plot a course and expect to follow it. That's not flowing, right? That's projecting some imagined future. Whether that's in relationship or out of it, right? Hang on, I gotta let the cat in. But so that's plotting again, plotting a course, and so then the mind has plenty to do with that, right? It's like, oh, am I really on course for this? And ooh, what does that mean? Towards how I think, towards that place on the map that I've pegged, right? Ooh, am I closer to that place on the map, or am I further away from that place? And oh, maybe I was wrong when I originally made those plans, and blah blah. Oh my God. Come on, kitty. It's such a setup for distraction. It's such a setup for the continued reliance on the thinking mind. And it's all imaginary anyway, right? It's like Doris Day sang, "Que sera, sera, what will be, will be." It's like Jesus said, all the thinking in the world won't add an inch to your height. So it is a lifting of the burden, to not know and to not need to know. in that last next to last line, remember where your joy lies and rest there. My joy lies in resting the stories, resting the projections that the thinking mind would make. My joy lies in resting. And so this, I have another journal entry, but I'm cat. I am. So let me just start with this. Seems like the place to start this recognition that I'll talk about in this next journal entry. I guess it was, gosh, I think it was yesterday. These days are running together for me lately. But we were reading from NTI, reading the, I guess it was, Second John, Third John, one of those Johns in the Bible, actually from NTI. We were reading the daily lesson. Hey, Ann, speak of the devil or the angel. We were reading that yesterday with Ann before things got busy. And there was a line in there about, wait a minute, let me see if I can find it. I got the book right here, although we were reading out of Regina's book at that point in Levita. So, John. Where does John come in this thing? John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Anybody who reads the Bible knows that. That's not right, though, is it? 4:53. Thanks. Thank you, Ann. Oh, shoot. It's the wrong John. The other one was. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read you the first couple of paragraphs. This obviously is a reference, even though it doesn't point us to, it doesn't say, hey, get out your Bible and read it. It's the quote here is obviously in regard to something that's being said in the Bible, because it says, to the chosen lady and her children is a reference to the Holy Spirit within. It is to this voice that I speak. It is to this voice that I speak, because it is this voice within that recognizes me. You recognize your own thoughts, which are of me. But now it is time that you also recognize these thoughts, and this was with the capital T, thoughts. But as you recognize your own capital T thoughts, which are of me. But now it is time you also recognize these thoughts are of you. Any separation that you thought existed between you and me does not exist. And this is why you recognize me. Your own Holy Spirit recognizes me as itself. And it bids you look and welcome. And it's funny, I couldn't even told you that the whole two paragraphs there were right on point to what this lesson is. Funny. But what just leapt off the page at me was the phrase, your own Holy Spirit I mean, it just, you know how these things happen, you know, when you just get it. When you just get it. And Regina and I were talking about that last night. And she said, yeah, it's like when you're putting a puzzle together and yeah, and you suddenly recognize, oh, you know, whatever. This, oh, that's the Liberty Bell in this picture or whatever, right? I mean, when that moment when it clicks, right? And so I had that click, that aha moment with this. Because, you know, I know what the concepts are, but somehow it clicks. Just clicks at a deeper level. And so these words, your own Holy Spirit, it was very, very clear to me that, you know, it's like I've talked so many times before about how, you know, when you're seeing through the lens of ego, when it envisions oneness, can't. So what it pictures is like all of us in a really small room, really, really close together, right? That's oneness. It just can't get to oneness. It can get to a lot alike. It can get to really close together, but it cannot grok, if you will, this concept, not this concept, this truth of oneness. And this is the same thing. Your own Holy Spirit. It's not talking about a spirit that resides within me. You know, for a long time, I assume many of you, and I know from conversations with family that they had the same experience. For a long, long, long time, Holy Spirit sounded like, you know, maybe conscience. No. Conscience is too close. Holy Spirit sounded like something else. You know, something that comes in and counsels you, right? Something that you, a separate you, could choose to follow or not choose to follow. But this could be stated. The truth of who you are. Which also we can project out a little bit and make it seem separate. I can. I don't know about you guys, but I can and have. But your own Holy Spirit could be said like your spirit, which by the way is holy. It's not a separate entity. It's not even a separate facet. It's who I am. I am Holy Spirit, your own Holy Spirit recognizes me as itself. And that's the recognition that I had as we read this message. And then because I've got the book open, I'm going to read you this other line that just jumped off the page to me, and then I'm going to go back to the journal. But it says, listen only to your own Holy Spirit. And you look on the world through only the eyes of love. So let me just go into this. This is what I wrote this morning, this journal entry. On my tablet, which I told myself was very, very difficult to do. Well, it's not. Anyway, let me read this to you. So I said, good morning, Father. It is my joy to be with you this morning. Please speak to me this morning about compassion. I saw last night that compassion is always compassion for self. That is, it became clear that I could not exercise compassion for others because there are no others. Rather, compassion is always only for the one true self. What would you share with me about this? And that compassion is always only for the one true self was another click that came in the same, not at the same time. Actually, it came in when Regina was teaching last night. And you guys may remember last time, if you were here last time for this program, I was talking about compassion and, you know, having a dream about my father and the one word he could manage to get through all of this emotion and fullness and was compassion. And I applied that to some interactions that I was having with a friend, and it just really turned the tide. It really just changed things. But this is just a deepening of that, because it's not compassion for the friend. It's not. and this ties into you know, this fullness of the human condition. It ties into the other message we talked about a while ago. It's the fullness of the human condition that is life. And it's life living itself, and it's compassion for itself. You know, it's like, it's really bringing down those, for me, those intellectual barriers to understanding the fullness of self, the totality of self, the nothing else-ness of self. The response to my question, what would you share with me, was, you see clearly the split within the mind. You see the shift to insight, all caps, insight, which is to become your new basis of sight. And it was really funny, you know, I know Kathy, Kathy went to the radio a while ago. Oh no, Kathy's back, it looks like. Hey, Kathy. I know, and the reason I mentioned Kathy is because I know Kathy really appreciates a good play on words. And so when I wrote this word insight this morning, I went, oh, how interesting. In sight. Duh. You know, it's really seeing from within, right? Insight. It just struck me as funny. So anyway, it says, you see the shift to insight, which is to become your new basis of sight. This way of seeing is also the way of being. This way of seeing is seeing through the eyes of God. Did you think God referred to other? That delusion is what is being swept away with the cobwebs that have covered your eyes and your heart. And and I said, how do I assist in this change of perspective? And the response. You assist by remembering true sight is your true desire. When you perceive division, ask me to help you see. You assist by remembering not to cling to old habits of thought which cloud your vision. You assist through your desire to be truly helpful. And of course, it's funny. Talk about no division, because the answer to the question is actually the same as the question. And I'm not through with the answer, but here with the response, but the desire to be truly helpful was what brought about the question. How do I assist in this change of perspective? You assist through your desire to be truly helpful. You assist through your recognition that the desires of the, in quotes, separated self do not and cannot bring you joy or even rest. This you are needing to see. The desires of the separated self always, all caps, always bring unhappiness. That feels like, and of course I had in a response to that, right? That feels like a revelation, again, all caps, because you are becoming willing to see. So I'm going to read those three sentences again without the the breaks. You assist through your recognition that the desires of the separated self do not and cannot bring you joy or even rest. This you are needing to see. The desires of the separated self always bring unhappiness. That feels like a revelation because you are becoming willing to see. With true sight, choice becomes possible. Right? You can't pick an option you can't even see. With true sight, choice becomes possible. For this, we are truly thankful. Blessings to you. Amen. So, it looks like we are, first of all, again, let me express my gratitude to you guys. I love you all dearly. I love the opportunity to, and you know, and I say this, to teach what I would learn, I'm telling you, it's just such a visceral experience to read these words. You know, I can read them dozens of times without reading them to y'all, and they just don't, they don't always come out this way. I don't always feel them to the depths of my soul until I share them with you. So again, thank you for the, Anne says same with her. And anyway, thank you guys again. I love you, and I'll see some of you in Italy. The rest of you, I'll see you when I get back. And again, I love you, and I'm grateful for you. And Cheryl's going to play us a song. Okay, bye.
Yeah.